tad more brightness. Action smoke. Action helicopter.
Oh, guys. Guys, we don't need all this. This is just a conversation.
Cut, cut, cut.
Welcome to another edition of Spotlight Conversations with Donna Reed. No matter where you're listening from, we invite you to just get comfy and enjoy the next few minutes as we bring you new perspectives and maybe even some fun and laughter. No drama here, though. Just good conversation. Now, here she is, the woman who Alexa and Siri wish they could sound like. It's the lovely and gracious Donna Reed.
I don't care where I am or what I'm doing when I hear that show open. I think of when 3 years ago when I started this podcast, I said to Mark and I said to Joe, I said, "Can you guys, would you mind coming up with something really creative to start the podcast?" "Oh, sure, we got it, we got it, we got it." Every time I hear it, it just makes me smile. Like I'm doing now with you. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Spotlight Conversations. And over 100 episodes. Can you believe that? It's a lot of talking, which I do well. Worked a long time in the media business and have met some very interesting people along the way. And I like to share their stories with you. Find out more at Spotlight Conversations on Instagram and also at Donna Reed VO on Instagram. Today, I am in the studio with Steve Eisenstadt, and he has this amazing band. Steve, first, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being a part of the show today.
Thank you, Don. It's great to be here.
We're in Raleigh. That's where you are. Johnny Folsom 4 is, yes. Tell us about that.
Johnny Folsom 4 is a Johnny Cash tribute band. And with all due humility and objectivity, I think it's happens to be a pretty darn good one. I think, you know, we work hard to bring a great show to folks on a number of fronts, but we are really lucky to have our leader David Burney, mm-hmm. who is Johnny Cash, mm-hmm. And is very natural. He just happens to sound and even look a little bit like Johnny Cash, so. Yeah, when people come to see us, they're getting, I think, an authentic and unusual experience in that he is not trying to do like a, you know, kind of wax museum imitation of Johnny Cash. He's very natural in his delivery, but yet he remains true to his own spirit and in his own voice. So it's this very interesting combination of a real Johnny Cash experience, but also a David Burney and Johnny Folsom 4 experience. And I think people, the audiences seem to pick up on that.
It's a special skill to do a cover band, as you said, and be true.
It is, and I think you know, you're hitting on something. Tribute bands have really exploded here in 2023. I could guess what some of the reasons are, but it seems that when we came out of COVID, tribute bands for all kinds of artists, and in some cases, Johnny Cash is one of them, Tom mm-hmm. Petty, Grateful Dead, there are yep. many who have multiple touring tribute bands all around the country, and a lot of venues now seem to be just booking a lot of tribute bands, and it's interesting. It's really blown up.
Is it the love of retro? And maybe when we were all hunkered down with COVID, you know, we longed for those days before, and music is a big part of our backgrounds, our early years. Is that why retro and cover bands are so popular?
I think that's probably a big part of it. Well, sadly, we're losing more and more great artists, and tribute bands, you know, serve a role in keeping those memories alive, although they're also tribute bands to living artists. I think, you know, perhaps, I don't know what a typical tribute band audience would be like. I know ours tends to skew a little bit older. You know, folks who just love Johnny Cash and just want to keep having those memories. Yeah, it's interesting. And I think just a little bit of an aside, I do get a kick out of some of the names of some tribute bands. There's a, and it seems like almost everyone has a tribute band, Meatloaf. There's a tribute band to Meatloaf, and they call themselves Meat, M-E-E-T, Loaf. There's the Not Red Chili Peppers. So people get very clever with the names for sure. But all kidding aside, tribute bands take what we do extremely seriously. It's you know, it's kind of a you know, a duty and almost an honor to and get up there on a stage and presume to present the music of a great or popular artist, and it's quite an undertaking, and you better, you know, do it well, hopefully, if people are going to come and pay money and see you and have a good experience and relive their memories or their experiences with those bands. Hopefully you get it right.
It's not just limited to the baby boomers. There's another generation of people who, in your case, love Johnny Cash.
100% correct. We see many younger folks at our shows, too. And Johnny Cash has universal appeal, and I think he always will. The music, his spirit, what he believed in, his legend. I mean, everything about the Johnny Cash story. And mm-hmm. Movies like Walk the Line, mm-hmm. I think, appeal to the younger generation helps keep his memory alive as well. But no, you're right. We do see younger people, and sometimes, you know, we talk to people. We have something we do after every show where we do a kind of a meet and greet. We go right out on there and talk to a lot of fans, and they're great people. And I've talked to younger people who will say they're big Johnny Cash fans, but also some young people will say, you know, my dad love Johnny Cash, and I saw you were playing here and, you know, wherever we are, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, and I came out and you brought my dad back to me tonight.
As an artist, that means so much.
Oh, it sure does. I mean, it's hard not to get emotional when you hear things like that. I mean, it really does. That's why you're doing it, and that you're mm-hmm. able to touch someone in that way is almost indescribably special feeling.
Music is different than art. And words, poetry, it's music is different. It's got its own memory for people.
Well, you're right. I happen to have a writing background as well. So I've done a lot of writing. I was a writer before I was a musician. So you're again raising a great point. There are different feelings. Writing, you know, you're certainly hoping to touch people, but it's certainly not as immediate. Mm-hmm. You may write something and, you know, it may not show up in print or online, wherever, for a while to come. And there's a distance. You're not sitting there with the reader.
Exactly.
So you're just kind of hoping for the best. But music, those spaces are right out there in front of you.
But you started as a writer, a PR consultant.
You're right. I was a newspaper reporter. All I ever wanted to be was a newspaper reporter, believe it or not. Well, I can remember being, I was about 10 years old. And I would sit and I would fold up pieces of paper and I would draw like kind of fake newspapers.
Oh, you had the bug early.
Yeah, I really did. And that's all I wanted to do. And I studied in college and I had a really fun newspaper career. Most of my time was spent at two regional newspapers, the Providence Journal in Rhode Island and the News and Observer in Raleigh. And had a great, great experience. Great. I reached a point where I just felt... it was time to move on. I was just starting to burn out. It's not an easy life, and God bless the people who are still doing it and doing a great public service. But I just reached a point in my late 30s where I needed to make a change, and I went into PR, and that was just a fantastic life for a long time. And I still do a little of that, although I'm kind of largely retired. And the band is Johnny Folsom Four is interesting in that to a large extent we're four guys who all started late in life.
I love it. It's never too late for your passions to come to the forefront. It's great. Go ahead.
I never picked up a bass until I was 46 years old. I mean, literally never picked up an instrument.
What made you decide, you and your three other bandmates, let's do music? I mean, there must have been something. Were you listening to a Johnny Cash album? Were you just hanging out listening to any kind of music that made you go?
I was always a huge music fan, collector and concert goer. And yeah, music was a huge part of my enjoyment in life. But I never, for whatever reason, just never played anything. David, a.k.a. our Johnny Cash, he wasn't in his first band until he was 50. I think he was just, doing other things, although he also loved music, loved Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. I loved Johnny Cash, and I was just listening to music. Randy Benefield, our drummer, he was a dentist, and he was busy with that and raising a family. David, the lead singer, was a marketing and branding executive. And our guitar player, John, was an electrical engineer. So he played a lot when he was very young, but he started raising a family and getting involved in his career, and I don't think he was playing all that much either. So we're really four guys who are doing things a little backwards. Usually it's, you know, the young folks who will go out in a van and drive all around the country and play these shows. We're doing this four guys who are a good deal past 60.
You're doing it from a different perspective. You have all this life experience, and so it's a different approach to music at this stage in your life.
I think so. We're doing it purely out of enjoyment. Not that younger bands that are touring aren't also doing it out of enjoyment, but they may have, they're younger and they're maybe trying to make their mark with music and maybe envisioning giving up their day jobs and making a whole life in music. Well, we had other lives. So we're doing this just purely to get out there and do it. We're not young, so we're, people always think, a band on the road, they're tearing up hotel rooms and throwing TVs out the window and, you know, partying people all night long. You should see us loading in our gear and then unloading or loading our gear back into the truck and then going to the hotel and immediately going to sleep. And then we get up the next morning and we get hopefully the free breakfast in the hotel and we get back in the van
exactly.
And do it all over again. That's our life.
How different do you think you would have been as a musician had you been with these three friends, started a band when you were 25?
That's a great question. I often ask myself that question, and I wonder if I would have given it up. I mean, so many people do. So many musicians will be very involved in it when they're younger, and then when they start having children and getting involved in careers, all that, they stop. And I wonder if that would have been me, if I would have stopped. And I wonder if I would have as much energy as I now do for it, because in music years, I feel like I am 25 or 30. You know, I have all the energy pent up from not playing all those years. So I think in many ways, I'm glad that it happened so much later in life, because I feel like I can really relish it and really put everything, you know, in context of what I'm doing. You know, we're all grown ups. We don't have drama. We don't get, it's all that is not part of the equation, which sometimes it is with younger bands.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it can be a detriment to the music process too, when there's too much drama, or sometimes like between, some members of the Rolling Stones, it's a good thing to have drama between.
Yeah, well, they're still going, aren't they?
And they're still going. Now, how often are you touring?
This year, I think our total number of dates will be about 40, more than that, maybe 40 or 50. And a lot of those dates, I mean, a few are local, but we're talking, you know, this year, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Indiana, Virginia, on and on and on. Pretty much almost every state east of the Mississippi is in our range. We try to keep our shows to within like a 10 or 12 hour drive, which will usually break up into 2 days. But so that, you know, that's still long. You know, 10 to 12 hours will get you to a good chunk of the country. And we're trying to hit all of them.
Now, do you have a booking agent? I mean, how, once you got all of you together and knew what you wanted to do, how did you get all the bands or the gigs set up?
We do have a booking agent, Joel Hanks, and he's coincidentally in Rhode Island, which is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And all Joel does is tribute bands, that's a niche I didn't know existed. A booking agent who only does tribute pop ones. You know, he's very busy, and as I was talking about how that scene has exploded, so he's really busy, but he's been great. He's been getting us fantastic gigs the last couple of years.
Did you pitch him up there, or did you make a phone call, or did he see you play somewhere, or how did that work out?
I don't know. He came on board before I was. I'm still relatively new in the band. The band's been around for about 15 years, but only in the last couple of years it really started touring this extensively. And I came in late last year, and Joel was already on board, so I'm really not sure the history of Joel coming in. And the venues we play tend to be theaters. Theaters of between 300 and even 1,500 seats. We played an amphitheater in Indiana that amazingly was sold out with 1,500 seats. And those types of venues, they won't even, you know, return an email if it's just from the band itself. And in most cases, they only deal with booking agents. So it really is important to have one.
I'm talking with Steve Eisenstadt, who is one of four members of the Johnny Folsom Four Band. Go to johnnyfolsom4.com and you'll get the backstory of this amazing group. Do you ever think about coming up with something original music-wise?
Yeah. Well, David Burney, the lead singer, does have some original music, and he actually put out his own CD under his own name, David Burney, earlier this year. And so he's a great songwriter, and he does have original music. I play with other bands too. I play with in an originals band with a guy named Wyatt Easterling, who is fantastic, has an amazing history. He was a top record company executive in Nashville, discovered Keith Urban, Dierks Bentley recorded one of his songs, and it's an amazing history in Nashville. But he decided to leave the record business as an executive and become a songwriter, and he's fantastic. So I play with him, and that's all 100% original. So, you know, we do, and Randy plays with another band or two, and John, the guitar player, also plays another band. So we do have other projects, but Johnny Folsom 4, because of the touring schedule, is our kind of number one interest. But yeah.
Would you say that the touring schedule is the toughest part of being in a band?
This band, yes.
Because?
It's a lot of driving. It is a lot of driving. Now, interestingly, Randy, the drummer, loves to drive. He is amazing driver I've ever seen in my life. He doesn't seem to get tired, and he just drives and drives and drives and just enjoys driving. We go in a minivan that actually is his father's minivan, his elderly father, who doesn't really drive
anymore, right?
And we pull a U-Haul trailer behind us. But, you know, even sitting in a vehicle for a long time is tiring.
How about the easiest thing? What's the one thing that, I mean, obviously you look forward to performing and the gig, but is there something else that just inspires you?
Well, I'd say it's the camaraderie, you know, that hand in hand with the long drives and being, you know, being in this minivan for so many hours with these three other guys, is that we enjoy conversation so much that we never listen to music, which is amazing when you think about it. I mean, I can't think of a minute when we listen to music in the van. We just talk. We just talk about a million different things, you know, current events.
Collectively, do you guys know each other, like, say, 15, 20 years?
I've known David and Randy for, maybe going on 10 years. I used to play with them a little bit. I used to fill in with Johnny Folsom Four in the past. I've known them for a while, but John was someone I was playing with in another band, and they didn't know John at all. So John came in when I did late last year, so he's sort of new. David and Randy go back a million years, but all four of us collectively, it's still a little bit new.
If you weren't doing anything in music, if you didn't write, if you didn't do PR, what would you be doing?
If I didn't do music as well?
Yes, if you didn't do music, if you didn't desert.
Wow.
I mean, I've had some people tell me really crazy things like I'd be a mountaineer or I'd be a claymation animation expert. Like, really? If it wasn't media, what would you be doing?
This is going to sound really out of left field. It's not anything I've ever pursued or ever intend to pursue. But for some reason, I think I'd really enjoy being in real estate. I did the whole exercise of you know, selling people houses and getting houses ready to be sold. That whole process is very fascinating to me, and there's always been a little part of me that thought, you know,
I am not surprised, and I'll tell you why. Because on your Facebook pages, I'll see you post about what you're doing around the house, and I get that.
We bought my wife and I, our kids grew up and moved out, and they're off the payroll, thank goodness. So we didn't need the big house we had anymore. So we downsized about 5.5 years ago, and we've been methodically going through the house and changing pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. And I, just before you and I started talking to each other, I was painting our laundry room. I really do enjoy the house stuff, I have to say. I'm not very talented. I'm not very handy, but I can do some things pretty well. And I can paint, and I can fix some things, and some things I can do. So I like doing that.
I kind of like the idea that if one is in the arts, if you do something that's not in the arts, it sort of balances out. It gives you a break from music for a while, from writing.
Yeah.
That's why I like to ask people that. I was speaking of writing, No Depression had a really good write-up about you. Let's talk about No Depression, which is, well, why don't you explain what that is?
No Depression is a wonderful, still a print publication, as mm-hmm. well as online. I'm going to give a little plug to my friend Stacy Chandler, who's an editor there, a mm-hmm. dear friend and just fantastic journalist. And they are kind of the Bible of Americana music. For those out there, mm-hmm. If you don't know what Americana music is, it's a broad category that essentially is, rootsy music with soul, traditional country. It's anything that I define as anything with soul, and bluegrass kind of fits into it. Mm-hmm. Rootsy, traditional, or traditionally based American music mm-hmm. is what Americana is. And No Depression is a publication that's been around for quite a while that covers that world.
And they did a great write-up about you and your band.
They did. We were very, very nice. Very, very nice piece. And we love when we get validation like that, of course, as anybody would. But when validation seems to come in the form of, this band really is true to the spirit of Johnny Cash, in really bringing Johnny Cash's sound and spirit to the shows, in which that No Depression piece picked up on that point. That really makes us happy.
And I read the piece and just kind of focused on what they were talking about. For some of us unable to have seen Cash perform during his life, this is more than a treat. It's a time machine, quote unquote, from No Depression, the Roots Music Authority. That's amazing to hear.
It is. We had just a few weeks ago, there was a column in the Providence Journal in Rhode Island. We were supposed to play a show there. I won't go into the long story of why that show got canceled, but we were supposed to play a show in a theater there. And the columnist at the Providence Journal wrote a column about the band and me, since I'm from there. And he had a line, I've watched their videos, and this band is the real deal. And that's the kind of language we love, the real deal, authentic, true to the mm-hmm, sound, because mm-hmm. that's what we're trying to do. We're mm-hmm. we're trying to bring that experience to people, and that's why we're doing this.
You got a busy tour schedule. I see Delaware, Virginia, Indiana, Massachusetts, North Carolina, Pauling, New York, Daryl's house.
Daryl's house. Is it? That's where
Because Darryl your kiss is, that's the only song that came to mind. Daryl, that's the only song I can think of. How did that happen?
Joel, our booking booked that show. They do a lot of tribute bands at Daryl's house, and we're excited about that one. And the sound man at that show, we understand, is Daryl Hall and John Oates, sound guy, when they go on tour.
Dang, that is, congratulations on that. How did, when you heard that, were you like doing something completely different? Were you at home? I don't know, maybe you were painting your laundry room and you got a text message. And was it like that?
I was out somewhere. I think I may have been going to a rehearsal with my other band. I remember it was a text, and I remember seeing it as I was going into something else, and I saw it, and it stopped me in my tracks, like, Daryl's house. That got my attention. That's pretty cool. But to give you an idea of what our touring schedule can be like, this is November. November 9th, we're driving up to Philadelphia to play at City Winery. Those are great venues, City Winery is a number of cities. Then the very next night, we're in Taunton, Massachusetts, which is southeastern Massachusetts. Then we come home for a few days. Then here's four nights in a row. November 16th, Indiana, Carmel, Indiana, which is a suburb of Indianapolis. So we're driving all the way.
Mm-hmm.
The very next night, we're playing in Ohio. The very next night after that, we're playing in Lynchburg, Virginia. And then the very next night after that, we're in Milton, Delaware. So that's four nights in a row in places that are not really near each other.
Steve, I want to thank you for coming in and talking on the podcast. There's a lot of listeners that are going to be going, I have to see them. They're going to be trekking with you. on those road trips that you make, a little caravan of people behind you.
We would love that. I'm not sure we have any groupies, but it sure has been fun talking to you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Appreciate it. It was fun.
You've been listening to Spotlight Conversations with Donna Reed. Subscribe on Apple and Spotify podcasts or your favorite platform. Thanks for tuning in.